Hallelujah.
Blog Talk Radio.
All right. Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the Bible study. This is Bishop Clark. We're in Revelation chapter 17 as we finished three chapters the last time. We left off with the description of the destruction of the land, the sea, and then the air. And the city was being divided into three parts. That great city is fallen, Babylon, and we're connecting the fact that Babylon, spiritual Babylon, may actually be the physical city of Jerusalem. And now we want to move into chapter 17, reading at verse 1. And there came one of the seven angels, which had the seven veils, and talked with me, saying unto me, Come hither, I will show thee unto the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters. Verse 2. With whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made to drunk with the wine of her fornication. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet beast, full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and 10 horns. And we've talked about this beast in the past, and it is a ruling power. It's a seat of authority. It's a seat that can make war. So she is sitting upon that same beast. And the beast has the seven heads and 10 horns. Verse 4. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color. These two colors denote royalty, seats of political power, ability to govern. And decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand, full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. And upon her forehead was the name written, Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots, and abomination of the earth. Verse 6. And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints, and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered with great, and the Bible says, admiration. And that's interesting, that he would wonder with great admiration, because we think of to admire something is to think of it as a good thing. But I believe what he's saying is he's wondering how so many have followed after such a spectacle. And in the last days, what you're going to have is you're going to have people following after. The whole, and I'm probably going to get in trouble, but the whole diva issue in the church has to do with people wanting to follow after, people wanting to aspire to be like somebody who's crossing that line between spiritual and sexuality. It's a very dangerous line that we have to be careful of, that is very pervasive in the modern church. Verse 7, And the angel said unto me, Wherefore dost thou marvel? Why do you admire? Why do you wonder? I will tell thee the mystery of the woman, and of the beast that carries her, which has the seven heads and the 10 horns. Verse 8. The beast that thou sawest was and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit and go into perdition. And they that dwell on the earth shall wonder, whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, when they beheld the beast that was and is and yet is, or that was and is not and yet is. So it's talking about this beast will have a presence in the earth, and then it goes away for a while, and then it comes back again. We talked about that it suffered a great wound, as up to death, and then it was healed of his wound. Verse 9. And here is the mind which hath wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sits. And there is seven kings. Five are fallen, and one is, and the other is not yet come. And when he comes, he must continue a short space. Now, I believe this is talking directly about the spirit of the Antichrist, because you will only have that short space of existence, that 1 week of existence, that 7 year period, 3.5 years, where the gospel, the two witnesses will be destroyed, the word will be destroyed, and then 3.5 years they will come back to life in proclamation. Verse 11. And the beast that was and is not, even he is the eighth, and he of the seventh, and goeth into perdition. And the ten horns which thou sawest are ten kings, which have received not kingdoms as yet, but received power as kings 1 hour with the beast. All right, so now it's talking about ten kings who haven't received power as of yet. And they actually don't have a kingdom, but they will be given the power of a king. So to me, this is definitely an economic situation, economic power. We know even in this world as we live in now that there are certain people who have the power and the ability to influence, to be able to get things done. Even though they're not kings, they act like and can cause wars to take place and can cause things to happen in our economies and shift things. I've seen a lot of that in the presidential cabinet. Of late. Verse 13. These have one mind. Oh, watch that. These have one mind. They're all agreed together, and shall give their power and strength unto the beast. These shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them, for he is the Lord of lords and the King of kings, and they that are with him are called and chosen and faithful. Verse 15. And he saith unto me, the waters which thou sawest, where the whore sitteth, are people and multitudes and nations and tongues. Remember, I told you earlier in our study of Revelation that a lot of times prophetically, when you see waters talking about people. And so she's not sitting on just on a throne of material wealth and things of that nature. She's sitting as being someone who's in charge of people, able to move people, able to militarize people and multitudes and nations and tongues. She's not limited to just speaking in one particular language, but she's controlling and moving many languages all in one mind to achieve one purpose. Verse 16. And the ten horns which thou sawest upon the beast, these shall hate the whore, and shall make her desolate and naked, and shall eat up her flesh and burn her with fire. Now, you've got to be a really good Old Testament studier to understand the reference here to what happened to Queen I went blank for a second. Queen Jezebel, who was married to Ahab, when her end finally came, she was thrown out of a window prophetically, and told that the dogs would lick, would eat her flesh and lick up her blood. And here's a reference again to a queen, a woman, queen, who's usurped her authority, who's hated by the very people who she's ruling over, watching her demise and talking about the consumption of her flesh and her blood, and she is burnt with a fire. Amen? All right, verse 17. For God has put in their heart to fulfill his will and to agree and to give their nation unto the beast until the word of God shall be fulfilled. Verse 18. And the woman which thou sawest is the great city which reigneth over the kings of the earth. So after this huge pageantry of the woman, we find out that the woman, in fact, is the great city Babylon, which is probably modern-day Jerusalem, because that is where the conflict is in our world. It is over Jerusalem, over the city of peace. And so war will come out of the city of peace. How ironic. And the very people who are fighting, saying that this is our city, will hate the city and seek its demise and its destruction. Amen. That finishes up verse chapter 17. Let's move quickly into chapter 18. Remember, if you have any questions about what we're studying, just make a comment. I'll be happy to answer those questions, but we are committed to finishing up Revelation this week. I don't want to go into 2018 with the study. I believe there's something else that God wants us to study next year. All right, so Revelation chapter 18 and verse 1. And after these things, I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power, and the earth was lightning with his glory. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon, the great city, is fallen, and has become the inhabitants of devils and the hold of every foul spirit and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. Okay, let me just stop right here. There is several instances in Scripture where the term birds refer to angels. I'm not going to go any further into that. If you want to study it, there are a few texts in the book of Ezekiel and in Isaiah that talk about a time when there were no men, but the birds created the cities. And it takes us into a whole discussion of what we call the pre-Adamic world and what existed on this planet prior to the creation of Adam. And I don't want us to get sidetracked, because if we go there, we'll be there for a while. All right, so if you want to study it, please look into that. And verse 3, for all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delights. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sin, that ye receive not of her plagues. So destruction is coming upon the city, upon this woman that ruled and sat upon the beast that had seven heads and ten horns. Destruction is coming upon her, and we are warned to not be a part of her, to come out from among her. You know, the old people used to say, yeah, you can't be, we in the world, but we're not of the world. There has to be a separation of the things of God from the things of the world. And this separation is going to become more and more distinct as we get closer to the return of Christ. so there'll be less people who'll be able to fake it till they make it in Christianity. You know, walking the fence, going to church on the weekend and going to the club, you know, during the week, you know, having a little sip of this, a little tote of that, a little smoke of this. And those things are going to become less and less becoming to being considered a saint of the Most High God. Verse 5. For her sins have reached unto heaven, and God has remembered her iniquity. You know, the Bible talks so much about how God will forgive our sins and cast them into the sea of forgiveness and never revisit our sins. And here it says that the sins of this woman, of this city, have reached heaven, have become such a stink on the earth that it has reached, that smell of that iniquity has reached heaven and caused God to remember the sins of that city. And just think about that. Verse 6, reward her even as she rewarded you, and trouble unto her trouble according to her works, in the cup which she has sealed full to her double. So she's going to get double trouble. You know, they talk about double blessings for you, double for your trouble. Well, she's going to get double trouble. Double trouble. It's going to be bad. Verse 7. How much she has glorified herself and light the lightly, so much torment and sorrow given her. For she says in her heart, I sit a queen and am no widow and shall see no sorrow. So she is convinced that she is above it all. You ever met somebody who just thought they were above it all? That they could get away with anything. No trouble or no hurt was going to come unto them. And, you know, we have people like that. They're steady doing wrong, but they're steady proclaiming the promises of God over their life as if somehow it will countermeasure the wrong they do. They delight in themselves. You know, they think they're all that in a bag of chips. You got to be careful. You got to be careful. You got to be, you know, I know we're supposed to love each other, love ourselves, and it's good to encourage yourself in the Lord and be positive about what you can do and your abilities and your giftings and where God is taking you. But you got to be really careful that you don't have a spirit of meekness and humbleness and not being so boastful about yourself and not trying to brand everything that you do. Because it leads to sorrow. It leads to many sorrows. Amen. Verse 8, therefore, shall her plagues come in one day, death and mourning and famine, and she shall be utterly burnt with fire, for strong is the Lord God who judges her. Wow. So not only is she going to receive these plagues, but they're all coming in one day, all at one time. It's not going to be a space. When the plagues hit Egypt, it was a space. You got this plague, then it was a space of time, a couple of days, a week, and then there was another plague. All of her plagues were coming in one day. And they're coming directly from the judgment of God. Verse 9. And the kings of earth who have committed fornication and live deliciously with her shall bewail her and lament for her when they shall see the smoke of her burning. Verse 10, standing afar off from the fear of her torment, saying, alas, alas, that great city Babylon, that mighty city, for in 1 hour is thy judgment come. 1 hour. Within 1 hour, 60 minutes. And that's a prophetic time. And Jesus says, I come quickly. And when he comes, he's got to put in his sickle and reap. And I like to say to you, in the same time that it took for God to reap the righteous, the destruction will come upon that city. Verse 11. And the merchants of the earth shall weep and mourn over her. Why? Because that's how they made their money. For no man buys their merchandise anymore. There's no more consumers. There's nobody yet putting the pedal of that junk no more. The merchants of gold and silver and precious stones, of pearls and fine linen and purples and silk and scarlet and all time and wood and all manner vessels of ivory and all manner vessels of most precious wood and of brass and of iron and of marble and of cinnamon and odors and ornaments and frankincense and wine and oil and fine flour and wheat and of beasts and sheep and horses and chariot and slaves and souls of men. Verse 14. And the fruit that thy soul lusts after are departed from thee, and all things which were dainty and goodly are departed from thee, and thou shalt find them no more at all. The merchants of thy these things which were made rich by her shall stand afar off for the fear of her torment, weeping and wailing. Verse 16. And saying, alas, alas, the great city that was clothed in fine linen and purples and scarlets and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls. For in 1 hour so great riches is come to naught. And every shipmaker and all the companies in ships and sailors, as many as traded by sea, stood afar off and cried when they saw the smoke of her burning, saying, what city is like unto that great city? And they cast dust on their head and cried, weeping and wailing, saying, alas, alas, the great city, wherein was made rich all that had ships in the sea, by reason of her costliness, for in 1 hour she was made desolate. Rejoice over her, thou heavens, and ye holy apostles and prophets, for God has avenged you of her. Her full destruction, her full burning, her consuming, her coming to naught, to nothing. Everything in this world is going to come to nothing. All the gold, all the houses and land, all the cars, all the fine linens and apparel. You might be dressed to the nines, but it's going to come to nothing. It's going to come down to whether you are saved or unsaved. It's going to come to nothing. Verse 21. And a mighty angel stood upon a stone like a great millstone and cast it into the sea, saying, thus will violence shall that great city Babylon be thrown down and shall be found no more at all. Complete destruction. And the voice of harpers and musicians and of pipers and of trumpeters shall be heard no more at all in thee, and no craftsman of whatsoever craft he be shall be found any more in thee, and the sound of the millstone shall be heard no more at all in thee. It is the end of any commerce, any any delight, any celebration, all coming to an end. Verse 23, and the light of the candles shall shine no more at all in thee, and the voice of the bridegroom, and the voice of the bridegroom, and the voice of the bridegroom, and of the bride shall be heard no more at all in thee. For thy merchandise were of great men of the earth, but by thy sorcery, and we know witchcraft is disobedience, were all nations deceived. In her was found the blood of prophets and of saints and of all that were slain upon the earth. Go back to 23. And the voice of the bridegroom and of the bride shall be heard no more in thee. You know, this is really talking about the proclamation of the gospel. It's talking about the bride being the church, prepared for the bridegroom, who is Christ, and the proclamation, that voice of repentance, that voice of forgiveness, that voice of salvation being proclaimed throughout the streets, coming to an end, that there will be no more opportunity for the lost to be saved. There will be no more opportunity to repent of sins. There will be no more opportunity to be forgiven, to be justified, to be sanctified, to be glorified in God. That is going to come to an end. Babylon, that great woman, that seed of the Antichrist, it had a good run. It feasted on the blood of the prophets and of the saints. It feasted upon the ministry. And it all has come to an end. Well, that concludes chapter 18. Next time, which may be tomorrow, I'll be doing 19 and 20. Until we're done. It's a sobering thought, thinking about the destruction, the final judgment, and the destruction of the wicked. I don't celebrate it because it's sad that anyone should perish and go to hell. But if you're listening and you're on the fence, give your life to God now. Don't wait. Don't hesitate. Give your life to God now. Until next time, be blessed. Remember, God is greater than your weakness. In the name of Jesus, take care.